For Sunday, March 17th, 2019, welcome to Our Redeemer's Lutheran Church in Helena, Montana. We are a member church of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. In a moment, we're going to hear Pastor Kendra Wild give a sermon. The topic of the sermon is going to be Genesis 15, which is our first reading. The gospel reading for today comes from Luke chapter 13, 31 through 35. Let's take a moment to remember Gregory the Great, Bishop of Rome, who died in 604. We remember his death March 12th of this last week. He was responsible for the establishment of the lectionary as well as prayers that correlate to the readings, so he was a very important figure in the early church. Let's begin now, though, with the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 13th chapter. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." Jesus said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. And you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The Gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So throughout the season of Lent, we get these awesome stories from the Old Testament that raise up these pillars of the faith and that show us the way of discipleship. Today, we get to hear the story of Abram and Sarai. This is before they become Abraham and Sarah. So we hear today the story of Abram and Sarai. Let's look a little bit more deeply into the narrative that surrounds the story we heard today. So in Genesis 12, we hear how Abram and Sarai left Haran, his home country, and Abram's father's house in response to God's command to go. And Abram is given God's promise of blessing and prosperity. We hear the Lord's promises: "I will give you land. I will make you a great nation. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. I will make your name great, and all the families of the earth will be blessed." And what's Abram's response? He goes without asking any questions. He and Sarai and his nephew Lot, who turns out to be a real problem child later in the story, you could say that he was Abram's Lot in life. And they journey toward the Negev. Then, however, they are pushed out of the Negev by famine, and Abram goes down to Egypt. In Genesis 13, we hear that Abram and Sarai prosper in Egypt, and they leave that land with lots of cattle and silver and gold. Abram and Sarai then journey back to Bethel and gave Lot first choice of land to settle in. Lot goes eastward in the direction of Zoar, and Abram settles east in the land of Canaan. And again, God blesses and commands, saying, "Walk through the land, and I will give it to you. You will have offspring as numerous as the dust of the earth." Moving on in Genesis 14, we hear how Abram's small defenses defeat four eastern kings, and he rescues Lot, who had become a prisoner of war. Returning from his victory, Abram gave Melchizedek, a priest in Canaan, a tithe of all of his spoils of war, and Melchizedek blesses Abram, saying, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, maker of heaven and earth, and blessed by God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hands." Okay, so far in the story, Abram seems to be courageous, bold, obedient, humble, and faithful in all that he does. And he evades famine in the Negev. He prospers in Egypt. He's delivered from his enemies. And Abram seems to be blessed indeed. And God and Abram's relationship seems to be fairly straightforward. God says, "Go," and Abram goes. God speaks, and Abram listens. God promises, and Abram believes. God commands, and Abram obeys. There comes a point, however, when Abram finally says, "Wait a minute, I've got a question." And you and I might breathe a sigh of relief. Abram, this great model of faithfulness, is a person who wants to know how exactly God intends to fulfill God's promises. It's as if Abram is looking at his life and saying, "It is unclear to me, God, how you are going to work things out." Have you ever said that? I know I have. "It is unclear to me, God, how exactly you plan to piece this all together." Abram says, "I have a question, God. How am I going to be the father of a great nation? I don't have a child. Is a slave going to be my heir? I want a legitimate son." In spite of everything that God has done up to this point, in spite of God's provision of plenty and God's deliverance and the promise of a new land and an heir, Abram doubts. Abram is getting desperate for a child. And his desperation is understandable. Biology can't be refuted. Time is run out. Something must be done. So when God reminds Abram to remain calm and trust in the covenant, Abram prickles and questions, "How can I not be afraid?" Now, perhaps as you look at your life, you feel perhaps at times like Abram did. And maybe, if you would, work with this metaphor with me. If you looked at your life as a hand dealt to you, as a hand of cards that are dealt to you, your hand in life, so to speak, you would look at those cards and you would say that some of them are very good cards and that you would keep all of them. And maybe you would look at other cards that have been dealt to you and you would say, these are bitter cards. And these are cards that I would exchange the first chance I had. And sometimes we can change the circumstances of our lives. And other times we know that there are things that we cannot change. We cannot change where we were born, the family we were born into. We can't change accidents, the way our bodies work or don't work properly sometimes. We can't change natural disasters. And anyone who's been on a few rotations around the sun will tell you, you can't change the people in your life either. You can't change the difficult coworker or the disapproving mother. And we might look at those cards and say, these are bitter cards. This is a hard hand that I've been dealt. We also might look at our hand and see the good cards. We might look at the cards and say, there's my first job. There's the time I stood up for myself. There's my best friend. What we learn through Abram's story, is that God works through all of these cards, and we can encounter God through all of these cards. We can encounter God when we come to God with thankfulness and rejoicing. And we can encounter God when we come to God angry and desperate. In both ways, we are faithful. I think sometimes we get caught up in the notion that when we are deep in doubt and wrestling and struggle and questioning God, that we think of that as a crisis of faith. But I actually think of that as a time when our faith is quite active. And I think Abram's story shows that to us as well. We see that Abram, at times, yes, is able to be just unquestioningly faithful and submit to God's desires. But we also hear how Abram, this model of faith, and Sarah too, this model of faith, how they both question God and struggle with God and wrestle with God. And this too is faith. Let's hear how the story goes. So how does God respond? What does God do with Abram's questioning and wondering and worrying and complaining? God does not respond with a rebuke. God does not respond with censure. God does not respond with anger. God responds with a promise. Look at all those stars. When you get done counting them, you will know how many descendants I will give you. Abram's response is belief. Now, we don't know exactly what it was that Abram believed, that if he would indeed have a child, that God could be trusted, that there are a lot of stars in the sky. But the text tells us that it was reckoned to him as righteousness, which means that Abram is in right relationship with God. Does God completely understand how God will fulfill what God has promised? No. Does he have all the answers to the questions that he's been asking? He doesn't. Abram still wonders, How can I be sure? And that's when we get this very obscure ancient ritual with the slaughtering of the animals that are then divided into two and the flame of fire that goes through them and the flaming and the smoking flesh pot. And this was a sign of how the parties of a covenant agreed to uphold their end of the covenant, or else they would be willing to suffer the fate of those slaughtered animals. Now, I don't know about you, but I am much more glad that today we seal deals with just a handshake. We don't have to slaughter animals, split them in two. None of that. Abram's faithfulness is a questioning faithfulness, a pleading with God for more, more clarity, more information, more courage, more commitment. Abram's questioning faith takes seriously God's presence and power in his life and challenges us to also be open to God's work in our lives. Abram questions God because he deeply believes that God can do something about it. Such questions can also help us take our next steps in faith. Like Abram, we have our questions that will not be silenced as we try to walk in faithfulness with God. And like Abram, we can bring our questions to God as part of our faithfulness and trust. So go ahead. Bring your questions to God. What is it that you want to know? The rest of the story is God keeps God's promise. Abram and Sarai welcome baby Isaac in their old age, and we become among those numbered stars, those longed for descendants. We are inheritors of God's promise that those who were barren at the beginning will be fruitful at the end, that those who are abandoned will be cared for, that those who are downtrodden will become royalty. And through Jesus, we inherit the promise that those who are burdened with sin will be made clean, and those who die will be raised to eternal life. These stories remind us of a whole new future, a future we could not have imagined at the outset. God has a future in store for us that we would never imagine for ourselves. God is faithful. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the weekly Our Redeemer's Lutheran podcast. We publish weekly Wednesday mornings, and it contains the previous Sunday's gospel reading and pastor's sermon. For more information about our church, please visit www.ourredeemerlives.org. Weekly services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Sunday mornings. Thank you for listening, and have a Christ-filled day.